Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifies,
World of Outlaws,
Arkham.
It's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, team.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, it's that time of the week, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Race Time Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Race Time Radio studio. And we are revved and raring to get this stuff underway. We got a great show planned tonight there. Junior, how you doing?
Hey, wonderful.
Good.
This was a weekend of, not underdogs, but unplanned winners. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Across the board, really. When you look at from the top down, right? The Cup Series down to late model racing in Canada. There was a lot of surprise winners, and it was definitely good.
Other than one, Jonathan Hicken. He's kind of one of those guys that you got to call a favorite, and he did it today.
To be honest,
Oysterbed.
Over the last couple of years, I wouldn't call him a favorite to win.
What?
He's a top notch competitor,
yeah.
And he's very competitive week in and week out.
Right.
But he hasn't been laying down massive numbers of late.
Not massive.
This year, he's been fast.
Yes, he has.
Like so, he was fast last year. He was fast the year prior. He's always a competitor, and he's always a contender.
Yes,
but I wouldn't call him a favorite.
Oh,
I would call Dylan Blankhorn. I would call Cole Butcher.
Yeah,
those guys are kind of the favorites right now in the series, the ones that you could point at and say they're the ones that
big
are likely
winner.
To go win it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm not calling him a fluke like Justin Haley in the Cup Series,
no,
right? So
no.
It's not; those aren't on the same playing field. But also, when you look at it, there was a lot of surprise winners.
There was. I'll give you that for sure.
It was definitely, it's a good sign. It's a lot of fun. There was a lot of good buzz this weekend.
Well, let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight, and in mere seconds, we're going to hear from Jonathan Hicken that did go to Victory Lane at Oysterbed Speedway. In PEI, he did that, I'm going to say maybe 2 hours ago, maybe only an hour and a half ago. He is going to join us right off the top of the show. We'll also catch up tonight with the general manager from Riverside International Speedway in good old Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia. We got Paul McLean coming on the show to talk about the IWK 250 that's going to happen in just, less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Won't be long.
It's around the corner.
Celebrating 50 years at Riverside. This is going to be a huge IWK, Junior.
Now, I will say, you're jumping the gun on this.
Why is that?
Paul McLean, we always speak to Paul McLean the week of the IWK 250.
I know.
The week leading into the IWK 250.
Yeah, you're right.
It's been, an 8-year tradition to have him on the week heading into? 9-year tradition?
9-year.
Heading
yeah.
into the IWK 250, we always talk to him the Sunday before.
Yes.
And back in the day, we're going back a few years now, it was the Monday before
yep.
the IWK 250, and he was usually driving around in a tractor or driving around in a pickup truck on the premises getting ready.
Right.
Now, this time here, he's not going to be because we're 2 weeks out.
So he's still getting ready.
Oh, he's getting ready, but he's not. His hair's not on fire like it was in the
Precisely.
Past.
Precisely. That's why I thought we're going to get Paulie on this
early.
Week. Give him a little bit of breathing space because I know the next 10 days or so are going to be off the charts for that man.
100%.
Always is. He's going to be a great guest, and we're going to hear from him here in hour number one. We'll also hear from Caden Lapcevich. He is one of those guys that's now pre-qualified for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at UCASA. Caden Lapcevich went to Victory Lane at Sauble Speedway just last night. There is a lot on the line, and I'll tell you what, Caden Lapcevich, got to be a happy guy. We're going to hear from him tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And all day, struggled. I'm
yeah.
telling you what, did they ever struggle? He didn't drive up there and he wasn't the dominant car at the beginning, saved his stuff, was very smart, ended with all four fenders and all four wheels pointed in the right direction, and he ended up victorious. And I'm telling you what, that team thrashed on it all night long. It's going to be a great interview to talk to Caden. You know, welcome back to Victory Lane. It's been a little bit.
Now, there was another qualifier for the Canadian Short Track Nationals on the weekend. This driver comes out of the Delaware Speedway ranks. He went to Victory Lane on Friday night. We have Jaden Chapman going to join us.
Now, this is one of those surprise winners that I was talking about off the top.
Right.
Jaden Chapman, you know, he's been in and around Delaware. There aren't many late model racers that I haven't watched race in Ontario.
Right.
And I have never seen Jaden Chapman on the racetrack in person. So, you know, it was definitely a big event. Joe Lawrence, of course, picked up the first win of the night. When I was scrolling through on Friday night on Twitter, I seen Joe Lawrence picked up the first feature win. I figured it was going to be, you know, a Joe Lawrence in Victory Lane again for that one.
Right.
And or a Jake Sheridan, or, you know, there was a bunch of names there. And Jaden Chapman popped up. I said, wow, congratulations, man. Like, that's big.
Good deal.
It's awesome. And that's definitely a huge win for that team.
Sure is. And we're going to catch up with Jaden tonight. So that's two qualifiers for the Jukasa Short Track Nationals coming up in September. That's going to be huge. And to get your ticket punched already for that race may sound like, oh, yeah, so they qualify for a race. That's a minimum, like $4,500 that you're going to do. It's going to pay like $4,500 just to make that race. So it's huge.
Yeah, 100%. It's a, it's your regular payout for that race. Sauble was a little bit more, $2,500, right, to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to win the qualifying race. And then on top of that, you're guaranteed, I believe it's $4,100 to take the green flag for Jukasa, for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. But really, you know, when you total that up, you're, you know, bringing it home $5,000, $6,000. And that's a big payday in any short track rank.
It is, absolutely.
You know, so it's definitely cool.
Talk a bunch more about that in just moments. But what do you say we get our first guest of the night on the hotline? This driver hails from PEI. He was at his home track this weekend, and just today, as a matter of fact, they've struggled for a couple of weeks to get this race in. But they got the Canada Day 150 in the books officially, and we got the winner with us right now on the hotline. Let's welcome in driver the number 5 in the Pro Stock Tour. Let's welcome in Jonathan Hicken. What's going on there, Mr. Hicken? You got to be happy.
Oh, pretty happy day, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
I wouldn't doubt it. John, I'm following along, and I got to say, Jess does a great job on Twitter through the tour to keep everybody up to date. I'll tell you what, I had the cup race on. I am watching Twitter, and I couldn't watch the cup race. I couldn't take my eye off my phone. It sounds like it was a real battle out there on the island today.
Oh, yeah, great battle today. Dylan Gosby and I mean, props to him for running me real clean. I feel that I run a clean back. It's just a lot of door-to-door action for about 120 laps, and I think the fans enjoyed it today.
Jonathan, you have been on fire this year. Man, the team, the car, everything's been coming right around for you. You've been on the podium. This season looks like a dandy for you.
Yeah, it started out good. I mean, this new Shuri car that we got, 13 racing, I get absolutely no complaints about it. Answers to everything that we're doing. Seems real consistent. Race day, we're up there running at the top with all the fast guys again, and it's feeling pretty good.
Jonathan, this season is one that definitely we've all struggled with weather, but this PEI race was supposed to go green last weekend. The weekend got washed out. We come up to Saturday this weekend, and bam, just like that, the weather changes again and it starts pouring. The race gets delayed till today, but today the sun was out and a great race day. Did it throw the teams for a loop? You guys would have been racing into darkness, into the dark, the track changes a pile. So you set your car up or be prepared for it. Today you ran in the daylight. Did it throw anybody for a loop, do you think?
I think it did. I know it did on our crew. We made a few changes throughout the day just to compensate for what the track was doing. It did change a little bit. It rained yesterday evening pretty hard, and might have washed some of the traction compound off the track, and it's just basically like starting on a green track is what I felt today. So we went back to our notes and what we had there last Tuesday and testing, and made a couple of spring changes, and all in all, Erica stayed pretty solid. I felt that Gosby was real good in one and two, and I could beat him at a three and four. So I mean, it was pretty even that way, and it definitely made it nice for the fans.
Absolutely. When you get two hard-nosed competitors and they're good on either end of the track, that is good hard racing right there. I absolutely love that. When you can see, you know, where one guy is stronger than the other visibly, but you know it just keeps you guys glued together basically for a long period of time. Talk to us a little bit about the condition changes throughout the race. Was your car more of a long run car, or did you guys match up long run to short run pretty good?
Pretty well. They had heat, really. He could get me through one or two. Restarts, I picked the top lane. I felt that I could get a better run out of the corner, keep him pinched down a little bit, just play that card for a bit. Well, we stayed within half a car length pretty well the last 120 laps, and I feel that we put on a pretty good show for the fans.
Big time, I would have to say. Good car count at this one. And, Jonathan, there is a large contingent that run the tour that is from PEI. Oyster Bed Speedway is their home track. And, damn, everybody wants to win at home. It's a big feat to do it at home, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I got three-quarters of my people, friends and family, and all my sponsors from the island that usually can make it up to these races. So I mean, you try to make the best of it, and this is where you do want to win in front of all them people. And Chapman Brothers Construction come back on board with me this year, and really appreciate their efforts on that end of it. And it's definitely nice to do it in front of everybody.
Nothing will say welcome to a sponsor like a victory, and to do it on home soil has got to be it's got to be sweet.
Oh yeah, you bet. Any time like that is always pretty sweet for sure.
Dynamite stuff. Next up, the IWK 250 at Riverside. What's the thoughts heading into that baby? We've been there once this year. Did you get enough to go off for the 250?
Yeah, I think so. We had a good piece there the last time. The roulette wheel that they had to invert the field is what kind of burned us. We were in position there for a win, I thought, running second. Had to go back to ninth in the last 50 laps. But I really feel that the car is there, and I'm prepared to do my best and see what comes out of it.
With Jonathan Hicken tonight, driver the number 5 in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. He just won the race at PEI today at Oyster Bed Speedway. Gets a big W on the board, which means a ton in the points for the Pro Stock Tour. I got to ask you, man, we get to the IWK 250. It's an iconic race. It's an iconic Canadian race. We get participants from everywhere. Jonathan, experience in that race has got to pay big dividends. How many of these IWKs have you ran? I know you've ran them all that we've broadcasted, but how many of these IWKs have you done?
I don't think I've missed one since 2007. So I mean, I've been in position to win and get taken out of a few, and sat on the pole for a couple of them. I know that much. The year that Joey Logano was there, 2012, finished second to Fleming in that one. But we've been there, never won, but we've been chopping up a bit and trying to tune in this new Fury car and see what we can do. But I'm excited to get back.
I can well imagine. That's a track that you shine at. I know you and I speaking, I'm going to go back probably 3 years, maybe 4 years ago, and I was talking with you in the pits at the IWK. At least I think it was the IWK, but I know for sure it was at Riverside. And I said to you, Jonathan, it like you're strong everywhere you get to this track, and you're really strong through the race. But at the end, there's always somebody that sort of lurches out there. And we discussed the big motor, the built motor versus a crate. And you had mentioned, yeah, I got a crate in my car. It's just not enough here at this speedway. Do you think the times have changed enough now, Jonathan? Because it looks like the crates are the choice everywhere.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you've got a car turning good enough that you're going to have the speed down the stretch, it is a momentum track. And if you've got a car like Gorn and myself now this year, and Butcher, any consistent car that you can run through the center of the corner and get the speed down the stretch, I don't think that's affecting too many. You get one or two built motors left in the division, so it's pretty well become a great motor class indeed.
Yeah, and you get a chance to hang on to those tires a little bit longer, too. And on those long races, it's a good idea to have some rubber underneath you when those laps are ticking away.
Yeah, for sure. You got to be smart and keep the panels on it. And, not so bad on rubber, but you can use it up the first half and get a second set going on for the next half. But you got to be smart and keep the panels on it and be there at the end. And that's when hoping to do for this up-and-coming 250.
Now, I know we've talked a little bit about it through this interview and obviously earlier on in the season as well, but, you know, a lot of new iron. You've mentioned that you're in a new Fury car for the beginning of this season. You know, there's a 50-50 shot. Everybody always talks about it, that you're either going to come out of the box like a rocket ship or you're going to come out like a wet paper bag. And it looks like you're coming out like a rocket ship. But talk to us a little bit about the feeling. I know it's easy for you to say, well, it's fast. But talk to us a little bit about the feeling of that new piece and the differences over what you had and what it fits your driving style like.
Yeah, I mean, this new Fury car that we got, it's got so much positive feel in the front end that answers to every adjustment that we make. Very small adjustments, too, and you don't have to make big swings at it, which is nice because you're not getting all of the sorts through the day. But, I mean, yeah, you can run 50, 60 laps, and the car's still feeling the same throughout the end of the race as it does at the start of it. So, I mean, pretty confident in it every week, which gets the guys going. My crew, the same crew that comes with me for week in and week out, that never fail on me, and to get a win this early and have a car that is so positive each week, I think it's meaning quite a bit as a team for all of us.
Yeah, you gotta love it. The only, I guess, downfall to today's win, if there is one, it's Sunday. You gotta work tomorrow. If it would have happened on Saturday night, you guys would have been partying hardy.
Hey, you can call in sick, bud.
Yeah, I might have to do that. Yeah, you never know.
Pretty amazing stuff, Jonathan. This has been great catching up with you. We really appreciate the time. I know you're on your way home now, which isn't that far of a drive. Finally, you get a nice one close to home.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it makes it a little bit better. Not so much for all the guys to travel away, but we've been in that situation. But I only get a 40-minute drive home, so it's kind of nice at my end of the front.
Yeah, you gotta love it. And you're gonna be you know now, right, that the 13 and the 13X or whatever Austin's number is, those guys are gonna be leaning on you pretty hard come IWK 250. You got success and they haven't even hit the track this year in the tour.
Yeah, hey, Cassius Clark and I don't know if Foltz is coming up, Jeff Foltz, the King Racing. I mean, I've run them cars before and had a lot of success in them. Four or five times that I run them, I had three or four wins, I guess. But yeah, very, very well prepared cars. Anderson and King Racing is just one of them guys, very, very competitive, knows his stuff. And when they come to the track, they definitely mean business and they're going to be definitely on top of things. But yeah, the Austin coming up through too. I mean, it's all these young kids do so well. If you give them the gear, they're really shining.
Absolutely, 100%. I've seen a picture of the King Racing shop there. Andrew posted it. I guess it was earlier on in the week, but there was a pile of race cars in that shop. No room to move. Lots of race cars, though.
Yeah.
Lots of race cars, yeah. You got Reed Steel there. I think they got 7 cars going in there. And, yeah, things are good, and it's definitely the way to go, I think, to a Fury chassis. It's just can't say enough about the boys and Andrew King Racing. They got a pretty good deal going on, I figure.
One final question from me, Jonathan, and it's all, I always get a kick out of hearing the answer to this one. We don't get a chance to talk to many winners on their way home, but when we do, we ask, where did the trophy get to ride on the way home?
Actually, it's with my crew chief, Andy. They took it up to Cavendish Beach Festival there at the music festival. They had traveled down both days, leave their campsite and down, and they're going to... Partied up in Cavendish tonight at the Country Beach.
That's
Festival.
You bring a trophy back. You bring a trophy back in style, right? It's got
right.
Usually a crew member loses its seat and the seat belt gets wrapped around it.
Yeah, they're going to break it in for me tonight, I guess.
I'll tell you, the funniest one.
I'm going to put my feet up.
The funniest one I seen, Jonathan, was that the last time Kent. Vincent won the IWK 250. Jerry and Brad and Josh and I roll back into the hotel long after the race is over. And in comes, through the parking lot, here comes this guy, and he's got something in his arms. I don't know what it is. I'm far enough away. As we get closer, it's Kent Vincent and his crew, and they got the IWK 250 trophy walking through McDonald's parking lot. I'll tell you what, it was a hoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet there's some pretty good experiences, I would imagine. But if we can get a 250 win under our belt, I'm sure there'd be something done with that trophy, too. They have a lot of fun with it.
I can imagine. Jonathan, you go get some time and soak up that victory, bud. I know we look forward to catching you at Riverside in just less than a couple weeks now.
Yeah, appreciate the call, guys. Thanks very much.
You bet. That's Jonathan Hicken, driver of the number 5 out in PEI. Good day for Jonathan. Sounds like the 91 at Gosby had a great day, too. He ended up finishing this race second. The 99 at Craig Slonwhite, good run for him, finishes up third. Fourth spot goes to another Islander, Robbie McEwen. In fifth spot, the 67 at Dylan Blankhorn. Quick little side note, the 67 and 18 on lap 120, had to go to the back. Contact. Somebody made contact. The two of them had to go to the rear. He was also followed up in sixth spot by the 18 of Darren McKinnon. Seventh was the 0 of Sean Turple. Eighth spot, 54, Jared Butcher. Ninth was the 29, Big Red Dodge, Greg Proud. In 10th spot from Newfoundland, the number 48 of Waylon Farrow. That is your top 10 for today's Oyster Bed Speedway 150. Junior, sounds like we missed a dandy.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it was a heck of a show. And, you know, it's cool when you can hear the winning driver talk about how clean the second place guy raced him. That's always a neat deal. I know, you know, Dylan Gosby and Jonathan Hicken, they both wanted it the equal amount. It's definitely cool to hear, and it sounds like they both had a great outing. You know, the thing that stands out to me in that top five, I don't know about Robbie McEwen. I believe that we talked about him at the beginning of the year, but I don't think that's a brand new piece. But 4 out of the 5 are. That's a big thing. That's a big statement for all these chassis builders, and there's a number of them in that top 5, right? Because you've got Blankhorn, who's in a Van Dorn car. Not sure who McEwen runs, you've got Gosby, who is in a Fury car, I believe. Is he a Fury?
I don't know whether he's a Fury or
if he's a Rowdy.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jonathan Hicken with a Fury as well, and Slonwhite with a Port City. So, it's diverse.
It is.
And that's definitely pretty cool.
You bet. We're going to hit this quick break, Junior. When we come back, we're going to talk Riverside with the GM. We got Paul McLean coming up on the other side of the break. Stay there.
I this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grousedale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. It's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio worldwide, Saturday, July 13th. For the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca. Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Let's get right back to it, shall we? This next guest is the general manager of Riverside International Speedway, and I thought I'd break to tradition just a wee bit and get him on a few days ahead of the busiest time of his year. I thought, man, this should work out pretty good. I did blow it, though. I told him an Eastern time instead of his time, but I digress. Let's bring on Paul McLean. What's going on tonight there, Mr. McLean? How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, Joe. Actually, I'm sitting in the infield here at Riverside. That's where my motorhome is, and we started the campground today, so the process has started.
Ah, you see, I thought I'd get you well ahead of it, but I knew I couldn't get ahead of you. You have a busy job to do. It's the biggest event. Man, it doesn't get any bigger. How are things looking for IWK 250 2019?
Well, pretty good, actually. We got a week more to get ready this year, but it still doesn't seem never to be enough time. And the guys have been working at the track getting it done, and today was the day we start the campground. It takes about a full week to mark out 1,000 spots and number them and get that all ready, the field mode, It's been pretty wet down here, so we're kind of behind the eight ball a bit there. But we got a full week here. We can about 10 days to get it ready. We don't start receiving trailers till next Wednesday, so we'll be ready.
Absolutely. If anybody can be, I know you will be. You've had lots of practice at this baby, and Paul, it grows every single year. For fans that have maybe never experienced the IWK 250 at Riverside and Antigonish, and maybe this is going to be their first year, and they've got a camper, are they going to be in luck? Is there a way that they can get in, or are things sold out? What are we at?
Well, I guess if there is a few more out there, we'll do our best. Right now, we are 100% full. We have a few people on the waiting list that we're trying to work on our overflow field to get in. The problem has been, it's just been raining down here constantly. Today, the last couple of days, have been the first really nice day, so we can't get the field mowed until it dries up a bit. And anyway, we should be able to accommodate another handful more, but we just don't know for sure. And if you're one of these people that have not sent your form in or registration in, I suggest you do it ASAP.
Yeah, get to riversidespeedway.ca. That would be the best spot to start. Trust me when I say you do not want to miss the IWK 250. If you've never seen the IWK 250, your eyeballs will just about fly out of your head on this event. It is a full weekend of festivities as well, kicking off Thursday night with a concert, right?
Yeah, we started this, probably this will be our sixth year for our concert, I think. And this year we've being our 50th anniversary, we stepped it up a bit, and we've hired Matt Minglewood, and he's one of a maritime legend. I seen him a couple of weeks ago. He's 72 years old, and he's something like Mick Jagger. He put on a 2-hour and 15-minute show there and never missed a beat. It was unbelievable. He rocked the place, so really looking forward to seeing him again here at Riverside. I talked to him, and he's driven by this place, tells a story of being here back in the early 60s, I believe. He was driving by one day with a barracuda, he said, and the gate was open, and he came in. There was not a soul around. He took her around the track, and he thought it was pretty amazing then. I said, well, and he hasn't been here in 30-some years, so he won't believe what he's about to see when he comes here Thursday night for his show.
By the way, that is not condoned anymore.
Yeah,
there are a lot.
We keep the gate kept locked all the time.
There are a lot more stringent insurance rules in motorsports. So if you're driving by your local track, I'm just saying this to the listeners, but if you're driving by your local track, don't do that.
No.
Yeah. Anything went in the 60s, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I was born in the wrong era.
Yeah, we used to grab a box of beer and go on a gravel run, we used to call it, and there was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Those are back in the days.
He was telling me the story last week about it, so he was pretty excited to come here. So that'll kick it off on Thursday night. We're expecting a big crowd for that. Traditionally, it's growing every year, and no reason why it won't be 2,000 people at that concert.
Oh, at least. Yeah. And there's lots going on Thursday night, too. We got to add, you may want to come out to the racetrack a hair early. You're going to catch your Pro Stock Tour practice session. It is happy hour on steroids before the big show. The teams are invited to come out and do some testing heading into the IWK 250. And, Paul, we've seen all kinds of stuff in that practice. And it's just about an injustice to call it in practice because the guys are all shooting for the top of the board.
There's always bragging rights that night, it seems to be. Anyway, the early years we didn't really, but now as it goes on, it seems to be everybody wants to name it that top of the board before we shut the thing off for the night. And the last couple of years, it's been pretty crazy seeing guys almost have their car loaded and said, no, I'm going back out.
Yeah.
That's
new tires on or scrub up some tires and away they go.
That's right. And you know what? Yeah. That is all to do with the transponder system. We can thank that transponder system for that action. I love that at a short track. It gets into all the drivers' heads. If they look at that pylon in practice and they see that they're eighth on the board, that guy is pissed, and he's going back out there for more.
Yeah, it might be 1/100th of a second. They don't know the time. doesn't put, well, I guess it does. The guy's top, the top time would be on the top of the board, but everybody else's time you don't know. But you're right. It's kind of a little, little. I had to come in the motorhome here. The flies are eating me alive.
Yeah.
It's been a fun night. Actually, Wednesday night, Wednesday night kicked off with the sportsmen. They're testing tune in the Legends. It's Wednesday night. So they come out and they play around on Wednesday night, and then Thursday's the pro stock practice. So again, it's free. The grandstands are open, so you don't have to pay to come in. We let them in free to watch if we the practice. So
yeah, and I might add too, NASCAR star Kenny Wallace will be in the house that night. He's going to be there getting acclimated with his car. Now, that will it be the same car that Kenny drove last year, Paul?
That's a good question. I haven't been around the shop that much lately, so I don't know if it is or not the same car. I'm not sure. It's not. I can tell you right now, it's not wrapped yet.
Well,
it's got to go on a show on Wednesday, so our guy that does our work has got some work to do for him in the next couple of days there, because it's got to going in a big street fair on Wednesday here in town.
Yeah, so he's got his work cut out for him. But the good news is for Kenny Wallace, he knows the track. He ran all 250 laps last year, plus practice and qualifying. Kenny knows what he's stepping into. I think he's going to be really one tough customer to beat this year.
Yeah, I think he will be. These guys don't take long to get the use of the track. I remember the very first year Regan Smith came here, and I was standing up on the flag stand, and Regan was doing his practice, and we're going, oh my God, look where he is on the board. Speaking of the board, he wasn't even on the board, right?
Yeah.
And that was fine. And all of a sudden he was 10th, and then all of a sudden he was 5th, and then a little later on the night, well, top of the board. And I went in to see him, and I said, geez, Regan, you're awful close to that wall. When you come around, you're about 2 inches off. Oh, good. He said, I got another inch. He said, to go. These guys, they're professionals, and they don't just get in there and go. They feel it out, and then bang, all of a sudden they got it, and they're right at the top of the board all the time. Everyone that we've brought here.
Absolutely. I know last year Kenny Wallace was deemed the winner of the IWK 250. A guy like that, though, he's hungry to cross the start-finish line as the winner, right?
He
wants to cross that start-finish line as the winner and get all the glory at the end of the day. Of course, last year, going back, there was a couple of tech infractions, and he ended up third, correct? And
correct.
Ended up being deemed the winner later on after he had made it back home down to St. Louis. Heading into this year, I think Kenny Wallace is not only just primed to come up here and have a good time, but he wants to win that race. He knows how stiff the competition was last year. Even though he won the race, he wants to cross that start-finish line as the winner.
No question. I mean, we've talked to him since then, and, you know, he loved to get the win, but he wants to win it himself. He doesn't want any other thing. He wants to go in there, and he wants to celebrate with the fans here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's going to be able to do that. I know he's bringing his wife Kim this year so that he can party real good and not have to drive anywhere. He'll have Kim to take care of him. But the true reality is, in the IWK 250, we see the stars of the Parts for Trucks Tour. We also see guys like Kenny Wallace come in, and we get a lot of visiting cars like Cassius Clark and Jeff Foltz in the past. Have you seen any of the names, Paul, or has it been too busy trying to set up? And you'll look at that next week, because usually we got you next week and not this week.
No, we got 35 cars, I think, or 36 registered. I never really looked to see. There's a couple of cars from Fredericton. I don't think there's anybody that I can think of at this point. Cassius Clark is in the, I think it's pretty sure it's in the 13 car. There's a list on our website anyway, and I think there's 35 names on there. So that's a pretty good feel for us for this event. So
Oh, it's going to make a barn burner out of it. It always does. I think back to the year we've seen Austin Terrio, and then look what he went on to do. He's going to make his first Cup start. We heard from him last week on the show. You never know who's going to show up at that IWK 250.
No, correct. I mean, it's been an event that people want to be part of, and it's something that we love hosting different and new drivers for sure that come to our facility, and we always get great comments. So it's a thrill for the fans to see some new people all the time, and of course our local young guns that are tearing up the track these days. These guys will be hot to take on the big guns for sure.
Oh, and that's the place to do it. You want your name put somewhere, and for it to be long-lasting and memorable, you want to win at Riverside. And to win the IWK 250, well, fans, you'll hear all about it as we get closer. Of course, we're going to have the race live, but the best way to experience any race, not just the IWK, is to be at the racetrack. But if you can't, the IWK 250, flag to flag, pre-race, post-race, you'll get it all on racetimeradio.com. But, Paul, tickets. Let's talk about tickets for fans. How do they get them? Is there advanced seats, and how do they get them?
Yeah, actually, the reserve seats are slim right now. There's not a whole lot of reserve seats left. There's lots of general admission. We hold about 5,000 general admission after we sell a reserve, so there's lots of general admission seats left. And there is some reserve left, but not a whole lot. If you go to our website, riversidespeedway.ca, there's an order form on there. You can do it online. You can call into the box office. But the box office is crazy busy. It's hard to get through. The easiest way to do it, just do it online. If you're general admission tickets, the girls print them off and they send them out immediately, or we hold them for will call. There's lots of general admission tickets left in advance. And you can get them at the door. You save a little bit by buying them in advance, but you can also get them at the door race day.
Paul, talk to us a little bit about the Toys for Kids initiative this year at the IWK.
It's something that was started last year by the 54 racing team and the 53 racing team, and we're going to carry it on this year. It's a third party that's kind of doing it, and it's getting toys for kids, and again, I'm not. To be honest with you, you kind of caught me off guard here because I'm not right up on that one.
I hear you, man. It's totally cool. If you go to riversidespeedway.ca, you can read up on it. There's a nice article,
yeah.
Covering it off. But definitely check it out, fans.
Yeah, it's a cool
program. It's a great cause.
Absolutely.
Great cause. It went over really, really well last year, and it's a lot of work, so it's hard for them guys when they're racing two cars and to do it. So we found a group to take it on this year, and we're looking forward to getting some stuff in for the kids.
What do you think our chances are we're going to see not only Donald Chisholm in the number 89 Nova Celtic Ford, he'll be a staple and one to probably beat in the IWK 250, but is there any rumblings that we may see old Georgie Koskulik in the 88 for that race?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He's on the list. I don't know for sure. I think it was up in the air the last time I talked to George. Again, I don't hang around the race shop that much anymore.
Right.
I know he's wanting to. It's the 50th year, so he wants to. But he's also the crew chief for Donald, so it's hard for him to do both. But I honestly can't tell you for sure. 100% sure he's going to run.
Well, I guess the best way to tell everybody is stay tuned. You never know what you're going to see in the IWK 250, including George Koskulik. And if he's in it, you got to watch him, man. I'll tell you what, the guy's still got it in it to win it.
Oh, no, he ran the season opener. He ran all 150 laps, and the car worked well. And he doesn't get a whole lot of practice because usually he's working on Donald's car during practice, so he jumps in it and runs a few laps and says, "Yeah, that's pretty good," and away he goes.
Yeah.
So he's been around the sport a long time.
Pretty amazing. Man, I can't wait for this IWK 250 once again this year. Seen Dave Franks last night at Sauble Speedway.
I just put my finger up. I was just going to talk about this story.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dave Franks, I'll tell you what. He is geared up. We're going to see him at the APC race next Saturday night at Flamborough Speedway. Racetime Radio's there. Going to be doing it live. Dave says soon as it's over, he and Judy are loading up and they're heading for Andy Ganesh. He can't wait to get back to the IWK.
No, I got a call from somebody the other day. Says I need a campsite for him. So I scrambled and got him, getting him something. But I hear he's coming. So
something pretty cool that Dave Franks is bringing as well to the IWK 250 is the first ever IWK trophy that was ever awarded.
That's right.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
So Dave Franks, of course, legendary photographer here in Ontario, but shot motorsports all over the world. He heard about this through a grapevine that somebody in Burlington had the very first IWK 250 trophy.
Yeah, Billy Watson won it.
Billy
right?
Watson.
Yep.
And he spoke to Junior Handley, and he said, "There's no way this is true. Is it real?" Like they and he said, "Yeah, it's in Burlington. It's at such and such." I don't know the family's name that had it.
Right.
But Dave Franks has that trophy. He replaced it up the other side of the trophy, and he's bringing it out there to show you guys and everybody will get a chance to see the very first IWK 250 trophy from the very first race.
So isn't that cool?
That's definitely a pretty neat deal, and I urge everybody. Of course, he found the Biederman car that had ran out there before, so Dave is invested in this deal, man. He absolutely loves the IWK 250.
Cool.
Yeah, you can't beat it. Incredible. But we got to let you go because I know you got a ton to do and you've been a busy cat all day. I got to ask you, how did the bikes do today? I seen a video earlier today. You had some racing bikes on the track today.
Yeah, it was cool. This is the second year for the I think they're called the Highland Games bike something or other. Anyway, they used the track for the last couple of years and there was a I think 150 bikes out here or something, pedal bikes, that is, in case anybody's not motorbikes.
Right, right.
One horsepower, and it was pretty cool to watch. Different age groups, from kids right up to seniors, division, and they motored around here. There was I don't watch a lot on TV, but the Pursuit or whatever where they do that, where they all get on there and they just drive around slow, and all of a sudden they do the bell, and wow, they take off. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
This is their first. Like I say, they called us a couple of years ago and wanted to know if we'd allow them to come and try it, and they did it. And this is their second year, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you gotta love it. I seen them actually when I had Sauble Speedway. We had a local bike group that wanted to come out, and we put them out on the track. I was amazed at watching these guys race. There was like 15 of them on the track at a time. And the draft comes into play.
Yeah, no, they were down on behind you. They were hollering. They'd haul each other down now. And it was different for me. I watched it for a bit. I took a break and watched it, and it was pretty cool to watch. And I guess these bikes are like crazy money, so.
Yeah, everything racing, right? Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul, this has been great. We surely appreciate your time tonight on Race Time. And, Bud, I can't wait to sit beside you at that IWK 250. It's going to be another one for the history books.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for all your coverage and all your help with this event. And look forward to it.
You want to believe it. That's Paul McLean. He is the general manager at Riverside Speedway. Always a great guest. Have a lot of fun with that guy. And, Junior, you won't find a guy busier than Paul McLean. That guy is organized. And I'll tell you what, he gets the job done, and he gets it done bang on every time.
Absolutely. 10 days out, he's staying in a camper on the infield of the racetrack just to get ready so that he's there. You know, it's definitely pretty cool. And man, I cannot wait. There's so many cool storylines heading into this year that it's going to be a barn burner.
It sure is. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Larry Berrio, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada.
from coast to coast. You're listening
to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grousedale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th. It's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio worldwide. Saturday, July 13th for the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Maybe, just maybe, you are tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Hello to you, and thanks so much for doing that. Or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, or how about the Performance Motorsport Network.com or Gearhead Country Radio, all of those different platforms playing Racetime Radio throughout the course of the week, other than Sirius XM, of course, every Sunday night right here, right now. If you happen to have missed the show and want to catch up, easy to do. Just go to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. Hit that like and subscribe button. And when you do that, yeah, it's going to go automatically to you each and every time we do an edition of Racetime Radio. And we do that every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 167. And that happens year-round, okay? We don't take a break. There is no off-season on Racetime Radio. Junior, a huge, huge weekend at CTMP again this weekend. We had the WeatherTech Series up here, their only Canadian stop for 2019. Looks like it was a huge success. I know you were just showing me one of the wrecks that took place today. Man, that was massive.
Yeah, Victor Fansoni in the Cadillac DP car, he went off on Champions Corner, turn two, of course. A couple years back, they paved the runoff area off of turn two. So you crest the hill after turn one, and you kind of enter turn two blind. Don't know what happened, but they paved the runoff area out on the exit of turn two, you know, kind of on the outside.
Right, right.
And which used to be all grass. if that was all grass out there, I wouldn't doubt that we'd be talking about a more grim story.
Right.
He slid basically sideways from, you know, the downhill section of turn two into the tire barriers on the outside at about 140 miles an hour.
Yeah, car disappeared.
Disappeared, yeah. So they've got, you know, probably six or seven tires deep, six or seven tires for a tire barrier
right.
deep. He penetrated right through that up underneath the rubber, face barrier, and then into the concrete wall on the other side. So,
wow.
Definitely a scary incident for those guys. You don't realize how fast you're going until you pile her in there. And, that's one of those places that, is infamous for eating race cars.
That
I think back to the Pinty series, racing at that racetrack and even practicing at that racetrack. The year that I worked with J.R. Fitzpatrick, it was about 3 weeks out. There was an open test, and JR's throttle hung just in that section.
Ooh.
And he went in, and that was grass back then.
Yeah.
But he went into the tire barrier at about 150 mile an hour as
oh,
well.
Wow, wow.
And same deal. Alex Taglianni has lost two race cars there. Big. And same with Derek White.
Bad spot.
Just it's a treacherous corner. But really, the place where you need to make hay. You can lose a second or you can gain a second through there.
Gotcha.
It's one of those really important zones of a road course. Not necessarily, it's not a passing zone. It's not a passing zone at all, but a very integral part in making lap time. So,
right.
Everybody focuses and everybody hustles through there. And, man, it doesn't go wrong very often there, but when it does, it goes wrong big.
Yeah, big, big time.
It's an incredible place. If you're ever at CTMP, when you go there for the truck weekend, which is coming up. It's just around the corner.
Silverado 250. Tickets are on sale.
When you go to the Silverado 250, I don't care where you camp, where you get your campsite. If you show up as a fan just for the day and you're going to, bounce through and take a look at everywhere.
Right.
That's the first place you go is turn two.
Turn two.
On the exit, on the outside of the racetrack, up on the hill in turn two. There's no better place in motorsports to watch road course racing.
Now we've only got a minute and then we got to throw it back to Toronto and get everybody up to date. It's our quick little news package, that takes 90 seconds and we're going to throw it back to Toronto here in just about a minute. But tell me, when you come through the tunnel at CTMP, turn two is located right at the far end, right? So you're going to take
basically
that road all the way through?
Basically a diagonal all the way through. Yeah, yeah, correct.
Right.
You go through underneath the track. You're going to go underneath the tunnel. You're going to drive around behind where the paddock area is. And, you're just going to follow that all the way around.
And
there's
that's
signs.
The cool part. With CTMP, the amount of movement that fans can have
absolutely
is unprecedented.
For sure.
If you're an oval fan, you're used to seeing a pit area and a grandstand. If you're a road course fan and you've never seen an oval fan and you've never seen CTMP, get out to it. It'll blow your mind. I guarantee it.
It will. There's 70,000 people there for the truck weekend.
Yeah.
There's, a solid 50,000, I believe, for the WeatherTech weekend.
And you're not crushed in.
Oh, goodness, no.
You got lots of room.
Lots of room. You can go. You can drive your car around.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's, a place for Canadian motorsports fans. You need to go check it out.
Yeah. If you never have done it, this is the year. And the Silverado 250 weekend, get to CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com. All the ticket information, all the events are listed. Have a look at it. We're going to talk more about that. I want to find out how Grant Enfinger did this weekend. He was in Canada. We'll talk about that on the other side of the news update, which is going to happen right now, unless you're listening on racetimeradio.com. Have a listen.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
Sirius
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader off two!
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. And we got a great guest lineup coming at you. The Canadian Short Track Nationals is coming up at Jukasa Motor Speedway. It's formerly known as Cayuga. But there's not much of Cayuga left. I'll tell you, Jukasa is a place that you want to see. 5/8 mile, it is the cream of the crop when you talk fan amenities and a beautiful racing facility. And the Canadian Short Track Nationals is coming up. We got two guys that have qualified already for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at two different racetracks this past weekend. Delaware Speedway and Sauble Speedway both had pro late model shows, and the winners of both those races are pre-qualified for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. You're going to hear from both those winners tonight on the program. Caden Lapcevich won at Sauble Speedway, and he's coming up. And then we'll hear from Jaden Chapman that won at Delaware Speedway on Friday night. We'll catch up with both of those. Junior, got to ask you, Grant Enfinger was up here in Canada. Did you, first of all, see that tweet he put out? I want to say it was like Wednesday or Thursday. He had this little wee rock bass that he was hanging on to, doing a little fishing. He goes, caught a big fish in Canada.
Yeah. I did. A big river bass, he called it.
Big river bass.
And river bass down there are pretty big.
Are they?
And
like big channel cats?
Yeah, and that one's not.
He caught
a little wee two-incher.
Yeah,
he basically caught a minnow. We use similar fish to that for bait here on Francis Lake.
But, yeah, we sure do.
But it was pretty cool. I got a text message on, I guess it was Friday afternoon or Saturday. It was Saturday. I was at the racetrack,
right?
And we were just unloading at Sauble, and my buddy Jeremy Dennis, who he's gone to that the Le Mans race at CTMP forever,
right?
And he sent me a picture of Johnny Sauter's car. He's like, Johnny Sauter's here, man! I can't believe this.
Yeah,
and of course he's been a Johnny Sauter fan forever. I said, yeah, man, you know, he's paired up with Matt Crafton in that car. And then the other car is Ben Rhodes and Grant Enfinger. He's like, no way. So he sent me pictures, you know, throughout the course of the weekend. But, of course, Thor Sport and Ford Racing teamed up. What a great opportunity for those guys to grow their road course background heading into CTMP. This is a chase race for the truck series.
Yes, it is.
This is not a small potatoes race for these guys. It's
big
not
deal.
Just a non-companion race that they go out and run. I mean, you qualify for the chase or the playoffs, if you will, for the Gander Mountain Truck Series. You're heading to Mossport, and
yes.
You're heading to CTMP, and you need to get up on the wheel. And also, you know, being that it's stock car racing on a road course, over the last, I'm going to call it 8 years, it has turned from being a road course dominated, you know, road course guy dominated
event. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
To being a wild card race for everybody involved. So, you know, you've got a ton of vehicles on the lead lap, usually, you know, 28, 30 cars on the lead lap towards the end of that race,
mm-hmm.
just simply because you can pit under green for a flat tire and not lose a lap. So, really, you know, you've got a tremendous amount of pressure to do well because there aren't any other races on the Truck Series schedule that are like that in the playoffs other than Talladega.
Right.
Where Talladega is a big wild card race.
Sure.
You know, you can get wrecked out and finish, you know, 30th, you know, at the drop of a hat. CTMP, same deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you have trouble, you're going to be behind a tremendous amount of vehicles. And that's even the smallest of troubles. So, you know, just losing one lap will, you know, it could effectively ruin your chances at a championship.
Yeah.
So you gotta be good at this stuff, and anybody that's in the championship hunt is definitely, you know, and it's maximum amount of people in the championship at that time because it's race number one.
Right.
So you've got, I believe they take 12 trucks in the first round. It's not 16, right? It's 12, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You've got the maximum amount of guys in the championship hunt. You can take yourself out the drop of a hat just by having one bad run at CTMP.
Yeah.
Or put yourself in a position where you need to go out there and win the next one. Which is always a difficult proposition. So, very important race. This is a very integral race in the truck series.
The more laps you get, the better. When I look at those guys, Grant Enfinger is going to learn a lot doing what he did this weekend. But Matt Crafton has had real good success with the Silverado 250 weekend. He hasn't won it, but I do want to say that he has finished second a number of times at CTMP.
Yes.
So, like, yeah. You know what? Matt Crafton is, you know, a two-time champion. He's been there, done that. But you can never substitute the experience. And just being on the track this weekend, you get that ingrained in your head, and you're going to need it for the 250 weekend.
You will, for sure. And it is, it's a lot about track time. It's a lot about, you know, the different feels of road course racing. And, you know, we talk about it a lot in the Pinty series. There's a lot of guys that are really good at road course racing. You know, it's tough to bounce back and forth from oval to road course. But, you know, in the truck series, you've only got one opportunity.
Yeah.
You've got one opportunity, just like you've only got one opportunity on dirt. You know, there's a huge emphasis on those races because there are going to be some really good competitors that swoop in to make that event. And as well, there's always going to be a couple competitors that are really good at it, you know, that are part of the championship hunt. So, you know, it's a chance for a lot of people to punch their ticket. And you look at, you know, what, you know, the BKR trucks did. You look at the past couple seasons, there's been some surprise winners up front, you know, that have been able to punch their ticket. You know, it's tough for those guys because there's only one chance at it. So the more track time you can get, it doesn't matter the road course. The theory goes into every road course, right? How you drive it, how you attack the corner, how you don't attack the corner, how you utilize the tools that you've got in the cockpit, it's everything. So it's about getting acclimated to road course racing, and really that's such an advanced way of thinking for ThorSport to place all their drivers in a completely different series. You know, when you look at guys like Noah Gregson and Riley Herbst, they come up here and they run. Christopher Bell's another one that come up and run Pinty's races.
Yeah.
It's a completely different feel. It's a completely different car. But the next time that they show up there is going to be in a truck, and they're going to be the most fresh out of anybody because they've actually been in race competition there.
They're going to know the track, and that's half the battle right there is knowing the track. Knowing that, okay, I got a left and a right coming up, and I'm going to go downhill, and I got a straightaway that's fast. The guy that doesn't, you know, maybe know that or have that ingrained isn't going to know where those nuances are, where he can pick up time and speed. You know, when I think of the Silverado 250 weekend at CTMP, I got a lot of memories of that race. I missed last year. I didn't want to miss it, but I had to. I hadn't missed a truck race up until that point. I seen it from the inaugural one forward. And one of the best memories that I have from that, and I, like I say, I got a ton of real good ones, but one of them was interviewing Ross Chastain and speaking with him. He came away on, I don't know whether it was the first year or second year, but Ross Chastain came away with a top five run.
In the BKR truck.
He was over the moon because he wasn't really having a good weekend. He is a guy that grew up racing on the half mile at New Smyrna Speedway. He wasn't a road course guy.
Yep.
And when he got out of that, he said, Joe, do you realize that I just got a really good finish with a seven-year-old BK truck? And he said, this truck's been through the mill we brought it because we didn't think I was going to do very well. And he said, look at this. He said, I took an old hunk of truck and ended up doing really good with it. Fast forward to this Saturday night, or not Saturday night, Friday night, watching the Xfinity race, and to watch Ross Chastain go to victory lane in that Xfinity race, and to see how excited, and rightfully so, how excited he was. He was the same way when I spoke with him at CTMP when he was coming through in the truck series.
Yep.
He was just about the same way as the excitement that he showed on Friday night.
All jacked up.
Oh yeah, he is true blue. He is the guy. I'll tell you what, that guy should have more fans than most drivers. When you see Ross Chastain, you've met him, you know him.
Yeah.
He is that guy.
Oh yeah, he is for sure. And he's happy to be there. He's a direct, as direct as you could be with his emotion, and he's exciting to watch. I mean, he's making a name for himself for all the right reasons, not just because he's buying rides, not just for any reason. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's the real deal. I got a quick clip with him. This came compliments of NASCAR, and this is in the media center after the win on Friday night in the Xfinity Series at Daytona. Here's Ross Chastain.
Man, I can't walk. I don't know. It's all a blur, but it all starts with people. I mean, it's not just a PR thing you say. It's, for me, this is what it's all about. It's all about the people and the people that got me in this car. And then Matt Colley, Chris Rice helping put all this together is, man, it's just, it's great. It's what the good Lord puts in front of you. And he put these people in my path for no reason that any of us saw coming, and it's all for a greater reason, and I'm good with whatever he gives. And it's been the darkest of times, but it's also been the best times of my life this year. And getting to work and getting to know, I mean, like Chris said it earlier, 5 years ago or so, me and him were fighting for, you know, just mad at each other all the time. Like, physically, I thought we were going to fight. And when this all deal came together, he called me and said, come up to the shop. We're talking alone. Nobody else was there. We stood in the middle of the shop. He explained his side, I explained my side. We shook hands and we said, we're going to go take over the world. And that's what Matt Colley wanted to do with us. He wanted us to go win trophies, go trophy hunt. And I think I'm going to drive this car and take it up to your house because I don't think I'm ever going to get the right to drive this car again because I think it's...
Oh, it's done. It'll never race again. You'll see it in a museum at Colley Racing. It ain't
pretty,
race. We can build some more. Didn't you see them other two?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's I don't know how to describe my race. So, I mean, super aggressive. Almost wrecked down there and won with Justin. That's just how you have to be. And I told these guys at the beginning of the year, especially after the first Daytona race, I said, if you seeing how much track position meant, if you want me to race for the win, we may crash on lap 5, and they were good with it. The only thing was, don't crash with your teammates. So at least leave somebody out there for Colley Racing to go win. So bringing 3 cars here was unprecedented. We got 16 car in victory lane. I mean, it's incredible.
Ross Chastain, and good for those guys, right? AJ Allmendinger, Justin, and Ross, those three guys, 1-2-3 at Daytona, it's got to be like a dream come true.
The record books don't show the 1-2-3 portion, though.
Oh, don't they?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The record book shows 1-2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
AJ's car didn't make it through?
Did not make it through.
Oh, I didn't know that
but,
part.
Yeah, no, the record books definitely show 1-2 still, but tough deal for the 10 car. They ended up getting tossed in
post-race tech.
They'll take it,
I can guarantee it.
I mean, you know, they were definitely digging hard and you know, whatever it was. I didn't read what it was, but he did end up getting tossed in post-race tech. And, you know, it's such an awesome deal. When you look at Colley Racing, right, Colley Racing, really the model that Furniture Row had, which was to partner with a big three team,
right,
and to then utilize their resources to make their own resources better. And that was kind of their model, right? And really, when you look at Colley's model, when Blake Koch got behind the wheel of the Leaf Filter car the first time.
Yep.
And really, when Leaf Filter kind of, when Matt Colley created the team, they started buying cars from RCR. You know, they just started, you know, putting them on the racetrack. They were an RCR car with an ECR engine, mm-hmm, with an ECR engine tuner there, with people that are employed by Colleg Racing. And, you know, that's the neatest part about the whole deal is Matt has created a team and brought three cars to Daytona. And, you know, he's brought two cars to select races throughout the year this year, and really done it in partnership and conjunction with RCR, but has done it and ran it his own way.
Right.
With leadership from various personnel within the industry. And, you know, it's a very unique model, just in how close and intimate they are with that big three manufacturer, right? With that, with RCR. Of course, their campus is right there on RCR's campus. So, or their shop, sorry, is right there on RCR's campus. So, they're a stone's throw away from all the resources that they need. They write checks to RCR and they get fast race cars and they make them faster. So, it's definitely a great model leading into the future. But when you look at how excited they were, that was their first win as an organization.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had finished in every position from 4th to 40th.
Right.
Before that. And then they got 1, 2, 3 all in one night. And now they got 1, 2. So they still need to finish 3rd.
Yep. They still have a 3rd place that they need to make up for.
But when you look at it, such a cool deal. Of course, Justin Haley, Cinderella story of the weekend. Finished 2nd on Saturday. Now got a ton of help from Mother Nature. Didn't go out there and win the race, you know, crossing the start-finish line first. But strategy played out. You got to be there to be good. And he ended up picking up the win for Spire.
Kurt Busch is really, really mad that he pitted when he did. And the lights came back on the pace truck as it was going down the back stretch. He knew immediately, soon as those lights came back on, he said, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
But tough deal.
I mean, with the lightning clock, you know, that's in for very good reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
People got hit by lightning in Pocono, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
A number of years back at a NASCAR race and then sued NASCAR because of it.
Yeah.
So if you watch today and you watched the race and you said, well, it's dry. Why aren't they racing? And, you know, you question that. That's why.
That's why people
got hit by lightning. NASCAR got sued. So they put and they have their own weather. They have their own weather people that are employed by NASCAR to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, they track every one of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Every one of those lightning strikes.
And if it happens within 8 miles of the racetrack, they pull the pin.
They didn't have that the year Jerry Downey and I were at Daytona back in 1995, I want to say.
Yeah.
Therefore, at that time, the Busch Clash on a Sunday afternoon. It was just a deluge, rain coming down, and the lightning started hitting. And I'll tell you what, I looked at Jerry and I said, I know we're sitting amongst, 70,000 people here, but that lightning, man, that's close. And it was hitting. It looked like it was hitting right at the speedway. It probably was. But I'll tell you, if it would have hit the grandstand, you would have had a bunch of fried people.
I mean, absolutely.
But that was a risk. We weren't moving out of our seats. We were happy to be at Daytona.
They definitely don't have that that rule at Chaudière either. over at Autodrome Chaudière, up in the spotter stand, we're calling the race, and there's lightning off the back straightaway. And, I mean, it looked like it was right at the back straight. It looked like it was hitting the billboards back there. And, of course, a little bit of backstory here. I don't like lightning.
No.
And
no, we got hit once. That's enough.
I crouched down in the spotter stand a little bit.
I bet.
I allowed the other guys to stand up tall.
Yeah, stand up tall, put your arm up.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we're going to hit a break, Junior. We're going to switch up, and we're going to have Caden Lapcevich on with us on the other side of the break. He went to Victory Lane at Sauble Speedway last night. We're going to catch up with him tonight. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grisdale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round 2 at Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. It's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio Worldwide, Saturday, July 13th, for the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca. Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
And we're back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Well, I'll tell you what, it was a great night. I know the NASCAR guys were, down south, they were at the beach. But how about up north? Yeah, we were at the beach as well. Sauble Speedway is where we were last night. Caden Lapcevich, you know him. He's a NASCAR Pindy's champion. He's been a busy guy this year. He's won races now on both sides of the border. And he went to victory lane last night at Sauble Speedway. It was a salute to Bill Zardo. 76. 46 laps. I know Billy Z's number.
I bet it was 76 laps of all the yellows that we did last night.
Well, and you know what? It was going along really good until 10 to go. But let's bring in Caden right now. Caden, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Fantastic, my friend. Hey, good on you. Good win last night. That was the first, 40 laps went real good, real fast. And then trouble broke out. You stayed out of it, though, and look at you in victory lane.
Yeah, honestly, I thought we hit, lap 40, or I think it was, just before that caution came out, and I was like, we're going to finish sixth. We're sort of just riding around by ourselves, and then the cautions changed everything. I just tried to stay out of the mess, I guess, that was going on in front of me and just play it safe. We had problems all day. We chased a huge misfire through practice and qualifying, and we thought we had it fixed every time we went back out on the racetrack, but, we fixed it just for the end, but, it was hard to get track position. It was tough to pass, and it just, nothing really went our way at the start of the race, so I was content finishing fifth there at one point.
Yeah, but look, and hard work and determination definitely paid off for you when you hit victory lane. I know I caught the last couple laps. From over on the pit side, I was up on top of the pit tower, thought I can't miss the end of this race. I looked up, and there was a restart. I seen the number 17 of Josh Stoddy. He got a real launch off turn four. I thought, wow, that's a big jump. And I seen the starter give a lazy green, and the yellow came out on the backstretch. I thought, hey, good on the starter. He's going to have an even start. And sure enough, on the next restart, You guys were pretty well even going across that line. It was a lot better start on the last restart, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was trying to go way more towards the line that's on the exit of turn four there. I thought that was the best spot I could get a good restart and sort of control where we went into turn one. But, Josh was up on it. He was ready to go whenever I went. And, I made a little flinch and he took off. And, I had my hand out the window just so my brother that was behind me didn't get into me. I didn't wreck both of our races, but we got almost into turn three there. I'm the first restart, the first try at the restart, and the caution hadn't come yet. Oh yeah, and I was like, oh no, did I just throw this away? Did I really just do that?
Yeah.
And then it came out right in the middle of turn three, and it was sort of a sigh of relief.
I bet, yeah. Quite a race last night. I know there was lots happened. Right around that 40, lap 40 mark, feel real bad for Jake Sheridan in that number 52 car. He hit a ton in turn four with some contact from down below. Sort of went three wide, and three won't fit on the exit of turn four.
Yeah, I'd fallen in behind Gressel at the point there, and I was kind of going to let them, sort it out and see what happened, and I didn't get a great view of it. I know the 8 and the 52 are racing pretty hard. I heard the 2 was involved in it somehow, but it's tough. The kid's he's got really good equipment. He's always fast wherever we go. It sucks to see a race car get torn up, especially when he's got another race next week.
I know there was a low car count there at Sauble Speedway. There was 11 cars show up. 10 took the green. Of course, Billy Schwarzenberg had troubles. But I do have to point one big thing out here. And this is the craziest, kind of stat from the race at Sauble last night. The slowest lap time in a 46-lap race was a 14.6. The 14.619. That was the slowest lap time. The fastest lap time was a 14.423. everybody was on top of one another. Everybody in the field was the same speed. It basically, the entire race, how it kind of played out, the long run kind of strung everybody out. The top three kind of ran away.
There
was no lap car.
None.
For a solid 40 laps, I guess it was like 35 laps.
Right.
There was no, not even a chance of catching a lap car. And really it was, the speed comparison in qualifying, my Lord, everybody was on top of one another. It was really cool to see, that much competition and parity.
Yeah, it sure was. It was amazing to see. Caden, you've been a busy guy running both sides of the border. You've had success. Where was that, Toledo or was it Berlin?
Midvale.
It
was the last one we won out.
Yeah? In the 16 car, right, the Super?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty amazing. What's the season been like for you, going back and forth? I haven't seen you do much up here other than win at the beach, of course. Have you been doing much on this side of the border?
No, that was the first race I've run in Canada this year. I've been running a lot in the Super with Bobby. Well, trying to, I should say, when we don't get rained out. But I've done a lot of racing with him this year. I come back every weekend, basically when Trayton has an APC race or something, to help them out. Most of my stuff's been pointed on the southern side of the border. Just trying to, race down there and gain a little bit of exposure and, maybe see what we can do in the future, more or less. Bobby's been really good with me. He's helped me out a lot. I've learned a lot working with him, and, I think he's setting me up to do pretty good things in the future.
Gotta love it, man. And you deserve it, Caden. You've taken your lumps, you've done all that kind of stuff, and it would be kind of cool to see you get a real good ride and get out and show the talent, show everybody what you got. I got to ask you the question. There was a lot on the line at Sauble Speedway last night. Not only was it a Ducasse qualifier, it's a NASCAR series. It is a NASCAR mini-series. There's six races amongst four events. You got the APC contingency stuff to also throw into the mix. There is a points fund and a NASCAR title that's going to come at the end of this. What do you do now? Man, you're going to be, you're the leader of it. You're the guy that has got the Jucasa qualifier, so you're automatically into the Canadian Short Track Nationals. What do you do from here?
I don't know. I was thinking, I had to drive back to Ohio today because I'm still in school, and I got thinking about that. You know, I really don't know. It depends how our stuff falls with Bobby down here. I'd like to, I mean, now we're in it, and, you know, I'd love to support it, but, you know, I can't give a definite yes that we'll run them all. I'd really like to. It'd be cool to chase the championship and, you know, run with the best guys in pro late model racing in Ontario. So I don't have a definite answer right yet, but it'd be a lot of fun.
Now, is there any parameters, and I don't know the answer to this. That's why I'm going to ask it. Maybe you do. With the Jucasa qualifier, do you have to race the car that you won with when you won the qualifier? Would you have to run that same number nine?
That's another thing I don't know. As far as I knew, it was just the driver that qualified.
Yeah,
it.
I think it...
I really don't know how it all works. I thought it was driver, but I could be wrong.
I do believe that it is driver.
I would hope that it is, but it begs the question, right?
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know what the answer to it is exactly. The number nine car that you were in last night at Sauble Speedway, whose car was that?
That was... it was one of Mike McCall's cars. It was the car that Brandon Watson drove the last couple of years in the APC series.
Oh, good. So it was a McCall house car?
Yeah.
Well, that's good then. Mike will have it, maybe he can put you back in it and continue the success that you're having. That would be cool.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be a lot of fun. You know, it was sort of a weird opportunity, I guess, to say the least. We're actually on the way to Brian McDonald's shop with Trayton to get him fitted in final or get his car finished for yesterday. And Mike called my dad on the way up, and he said, does Caden want to race? He looked at me, and I said, sure. I'm not doing anything else. So
that's cool.
Does the fish want to swim?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at, I don't think I've never seen you turn a lap at Sauble. Did you you ran the Thunder car up here at Sauble for the Battle at the Beach the 1 year, didn't you? Or I have never seen you run Sauble before. Was that your first time there?
No, I ran it when Sunset and Sauble did the home to home series.
Yeah, that's right too. Okay.
I ran the super stock there, but I never turned a lap there in a late model until yesterday.
Gotcha. So what do you think about it in a late model? Obviously you went to Victory Lane, and I know that you struggled. I don't think that the fans can understand how hard this team had to struggle yesterday. You guys, every time you hit the racetrack, that misfire was a major gremlin, and you guys overcame that in a big way. But what did you think about the racetrack once you got out there and you had a car under you that had power?
It's a lot of fun. It's a tricky place because if you get stuck up on the top there, you're not exactly screwed. You can make it work, but it's tough. It's a really bottom feeder racetrack, I believe. It was tough to pass. Track position was key, so that's why I kind of thought when we qualified, I think we were 9th or 10th. I was like, "Whoa, it's only 46 laps. It's a really short race. Like we might be out of this." But I had a lot of patience yesterday and just sort of let things fall out. But Sauble was really fun. I liked it in the Thunder car. I like it in a late model. I think it's just a really fun track.
Well, I'll tell you what, you decide that you're coming back, you got to know that the competition is going to be at its maximum. Your brother, he took the pole with the 32, and he had just got in that car and never turned a lap in it. He really did a good job in that car. And look at the talent that was actually on that track last night. It's not going to be an easy series to win.
No, I think there was 11 cars, but it was... like 11 really, really strong cars. Like anybody in that field could have won and is capable of winning in the ACC series too. So it brought out the best of the best in Pro A model racing in Canada.
Too cool. You went to victory lane, Caden. We're going to be keeping our eye on you. When you figure out what the next step is, will you do me a favor? Send me a message so we can get you back on here and let everybody know.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Well, congratulations on the victory. Congratulations. You are qualified for the Canadian Short Track Nationals, and I hope to God we can see you at all the above, my friend.
I'll try to be. I can't promise anything, but I'll sure try.
Yeah, good deal. Good luck at school down there. Stay out of trouble.
Thank you. I will.
You bet. Caden Lapcevich, he did it, Junior. Good job for him.
He did a great job. Looking at the field of cars, it was a lot of fun yesterday. There was some big moments. It was quite the event.
You betcha. We're going to hit our final break, and when we come back, we have another qualifier for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. He did it at Delaware. Jaden is going to join us next here live on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
Oui, bonjour, Bruno Gaillette, gazman de la voiture numéro 27. Vous écoutez Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250, presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
New to SiriusXM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa! Cut it out.
Lucky us. What a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right. No slough it off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Only on Faction Talk. SiriusXM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next. Only on Racetime Radio.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grisdale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th, it's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th, pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio worldwide, Saturday, July 13th, for the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Little Ked bringing us back. Man, that guy plays the guitar real cool, doesn't he? You like that? I love it.
I do. I do too.
Crank that up. I don't know. I love that tune. We are back with you, and I'll tell you what. Friday night, it was something else. At Delaware Speedway, another Jucasa qualifier for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. Big pro late model race. And we got the winner right here with us live tonight. Let's welcome in Jaden Chapman. What's going on tonight, Jaden? Welcome to Racetime Radio, bud.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Man, good night for you at Delaware Speedway. How did that one work?
It was pretty unexpected, to be honest.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Unexpected is always exciting. I guarantee the fans at Delaware always has the most boisterous fans in the grandstands at any track in Ontario. I imagine they went nuts when you unloaded at Victory Lane.
Yeah, it's pretty good to actually hear the fans cheer. It's been about 4 years since I've been to Victory Lane, so it was good to be back.
That's cool.
Good stuff, Jaden. Can you give me some background on you? I'm sorry, you and I have never met. At least I don't think we have. Give me some background on your career and what's led you to where you are today.
Oh, about 10 years ago, I started at Delaware in their Enduro Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the Enduro Series, I guess, evolved to turn into the Delaware V8 stocks. And I got linked up with Chris Lawrence and Joe Lawrence, and they quickly talked me into a super stock. And we got a super stock and did a couple years of that and tried the traveling thing, and then went to sell a super stock, and Jason Legg made me a deal for the late model I have now.
That's cool.
I love it, and it's working. It's working real good. It says a lot about your talent. Says a lot about your crew.
Yeah, we're a small family-owned crew. It's mostly my wife and I and my dad and a couple friends that come over and help out whenever they can.
So is that car then, and forgive me for, is it the Kirk Hooker car, like his final year? So that would have been his new Smyrna car then, right?
Or yes, it is.
Yeah. Is that ever cool?
Yeah, that's a good car.
That's
a
really
good car.
Cool. Absolutely. Obviously. Ended up in Victory Lane. She's a damn good car. Talk to us a little bit about the race. Obviously, so race number one, Delaware runs twin features conventionally. The race number one went to your buddy, Joe Lawrence, of course. You started on the pole or second place and then ended up in the seventh place realm. And then in the second race, you started second and ended up in Victory Lane. Talk to us a little bit about the race event, the entire race event from start to finish, just kind of how everything transpired and how everything worked out.
Well, actually, the race day was supposed to be pretty good because our new sponsors here, Refined Fool, they run it out the VIP lounge, and they're going to have a whole group of people there to watch the race. But because of the weather, they canceled it. So that was kind of a letdown for us. But then my dad told me that day, he says, well, why don't you just go and show them what you're made of and what they missed. So we fought the car. It was tight in practice. And then we started the feature, and we made it way too loose. So we fell back and held on for seventh. And then we went back to work and kind of went in between our two setups and started the second feature. And by lap two, once I took the lead, I pretty much punched the mirror and I said, I'm going to win this.
Nice. That's cool. Gotta love it when a plan comes together and that car comes to life.
Yeah. I had to give my dad a good excuse. He missed his 20th anniversary to be at the track.
Ooh.
Hey, that's a good excuse. Guaranteed he got some. He even got brownie points at the end, I bet.
Yeah.
That's right. Looking at you know, Delaware Speedway, it's obviously a tricky place. Have you won there in the late model in the past, or was this your first career win?
No, this is my second year in the late model, and this was my first career win. It is actually our first top five of the season.
Talk about a big place and a big race to go out and get your first career win, isn't it? Like that's just like going out and getting your first career win at the Great Canadian 200, because really that is one of the biggest events at Delaware Speedway.
It sure
it's,
is.
Like, I mean, you're guaranteed a spot into the Canadian Short Track Nationals. Talk to us a little bit about the plans for that. Were you planning on going to Jucasa before this for the Canadian Short Track Nationals? And obviously you are now.
So at the beginning of the season, we looked at our budget and we thought, well, it'd be really nice to go, but it's not in the budget to take the gamble to show up with all these big names and higher dollar teams to go and take the chance and not qualify for the race. And I made the joke. I said, the only way I go is, unfortunately, if I won the qualifier, and just so happened the cards were dealt and we got it.
Absolutely. Amazing. Jaden, trust me, they know who you are now. They 100%. Know who you are now.
So talk to us a little bit about the paint scheme. Obviously, so when I look at your car, it's Smokey Unix car.
Exactly.
Is that, yeah? So it was. That's awesome. That is amazing. Yeah.
Well, what the story behind that is my old cars were always painted like the General Lee, and I always grew up loving Dukes of Hazzard, so that was always my thing. But gotcha. 1 year with our V8 stock, we won a few races, and some people didn't understand how I was a young guy, and I worked my butt off to get the car to where it was, but everybody thought I was a big cheater. So my dad and I sat down one night, and he says, why don't you look the part? Let's go Smokey Unix.
That is so cool. Old school and cool is what that is. That's outlaw.
Now,
I love that.
Does your roll cage substitute for a fuel cell?
We'll not say that.
Too funny. Smokey Unix, for those who don't know.
If you're listening to this show and you don't know who Smokey Unix is, you need a slap.
No, they're a new race fan.
All right.
That's a good idea.
Well, a slap and we'll teach you.
Well, he rolls into Victory Lane at Daytona back in the day, and they thought, wow, how did he make it? He didn't stop for fuel. We got to check his fuel cell out. So they started checking the fuel cell, couldn't find anything, so they took it out, and Smokey said, you know what, guys, I got to get home. I think you're done. I'm just going to head out. He fired the car up without the fuel cell and drove it home. So he must have had the fuel going through the bars.
Absolutely. That's
too
cool,
funny. Jaden, this is a huge moment for you in your career. What's the plan? Do you plan on running any APC races in order to get prepared for that UCASA race? What's the plan?
So this morning we actually just officially registered for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. And we were planning on running up at Delaware's Great Canadian Weekend, which is the AP Series final race. So we're probably going to see if we can get in contact with Jocasta and go up and do some testing to get some seat time at that track with our car.
That would be a good plan. That is some big joint to get acclimated with. No laps there? You haven't done any laps at UCASA?
No, the closest I've been was when my buddy Chris Lawrence finished second there in a super stock last year, and I had to drive the car out of the track. That was the closest I got to drive on the track.
Wow, man, are you cool. In for a huge, huge day with the Canadian Short Track Nationals. You're going to be rubbing elbows against the best in the business, my friend.
It'll be an honor just to be there.
That's really cool.
That sure is.
If you can get around Delaware Speedway and win a race, I tell you what, that is a hard place to get a hold of, and it's bumpy and it's scratchy all the time. You look at Jocasta, you're going to drive out there and feel like you're on a cloud, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I'm told, so I'm looking forward to it.
And you'll love the speed. Give those sponsors a hit that missed the win. Give them a hit tonight on race time, will you?
Oh, we got a good list of... Everybody that came on board this year was just so great. Like, our new primary sponsor is Refined Fool Brewing. They're a local brewery here in Sarnia, and they're just exploding across North America. Then we picked up Tech Heat Treatment, and then we have Ainsworth Tech, Aqued Auto Parts, Central Machine, Big Daddy's Barbecue, Fastenal, Crystal Clear Janitorial, St. Germain Auto Body, D&S Service Center, Big Fish Steak and Lounge, Park Lane, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and our newest sponsor, Gabriel Racing Promotions.
Well, you got to love it, man. Congratulations on the win on Canada's fastest half mile, Delaware Speedway, and congratulations on punching that ticket into the biggest show in North America when it comes time for short track racing.
Thank you very much.
You want to believe it. That is Caden Chapman.
Jaden.
Jaden, sorry.
We Caden. Just had Caden
Lefkowitz. We just had Caden. Jaden.
Caden and Jaden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Mom, she came in here and messed you up by saying that. Because we had Caden, and then we had Jaden, and she was looking for a late model driver in Ontario named Hayden.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
What a great showing. Man, first career win. That's a big payday.
Huge.
And really an awesome opportunity for, you know, you've got great sponsors. You know, that's a big list.
Yes.
To make the ball go round. And, you know, it's that's definitely a cool story. And I imagine Kirk Hooker would be pumped if he knew that his car just won at Delaware again.
Yeah. You know what? Hooker will be the kind of guy that if Jaden needs any kind of pointers,
absolutely,
I can guarantee Kirk Hooker will tell you everything you need to know about that chassis. And, yeah, he was pretty good at Cayuga, too. Kirk, back in the day, loved that joint.
He was scary fast at Cayuga.
He sure was.
He was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
So, Flamborough Speedway is our next live race. It comes up next Saturday night, and we're going to be live at Flamborough. It is the London Recreational 100. We're totally looking forward to doing that race live. You definitely want to join us at the racetrack. It's the APC Series presented by Grisdale. Your best money is always spent at the Speedway. And that's where you're going to see the race live, and you can smell it and see it and feel it. But if you can't be there, you don't want to miss it. All you got to do is get to racetimeradio.com. I believe we are hitting the air at 6 p.m., I want to say.
Yep.
It's either 5 or 6. We're going to have pre-race coverage for you. We'll give you the race, guaranteed flag-to-flag, everything that goes along with it with post-race. Jamie Maudsley is the voice of the APC Series. He's obviously going to be with us, along with Jerry Paxton, myself. I'm not quite sure if Josh is with us this Saturday night or not. I know he was talking about a family function that was sort of on the docket. I'm not sure if it is this weekend or not, but we will have a great time. You can guarantee it. I got to mention, J.R. Fitzpatrick won at Flamborough Saturday night, just last night. So you got to know that he has got a string of wins at Flamborough this year. He's got a huge wave of momentum. He leads the points down there, but he has fallen back a little bit in APC competition points. You got to know JR is going to be on it this time around. Next Saturday night is going to be huge.
It will be. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that were behind the curve at the beginning of the year that have now caught up. And when you look at it, of course, JR had a good run going at Jacusa or at Jucasa, you know, and then tore up his primary car. That car that he's going to be running and the car that he ran at Delaware, of course, picked up a top 10, I believe, eighth spot in the last APC race. That car is the car that he's been running for the championship with at mm-hmm. Flamborough. So he's got a tremendous amount of laps with that car. He's dialed it in. He said it's absolutely lightning fast, and everybody that's been there has said the same thing. So he's a little bit ahead of the curve heading into Flamborough. He's got to be one of the favorites to win that race. But alongside JR, there's a bunch of guys that are now getting to that top side of the curve and starting to show some big speed. And,
sure.
The Gressels of the world, Andrew Grizel, he's picked up a lot of speed since then.
Yes.
He's chomping at the bit to get back to Flamborough Speedway. You know, Josh Stoddy, you know, picked up a third place. He showed amazing speed last night, and he's rolling into to Flamborough with some momentum as well. You know, you look down the list on the APC side, Schwarzenberg should be thanking his lucky stars that he came up to Sauble Speedway.
Yeah.
Tore up a rear end. I know that's a tough deal, but really that rear end would have failed at Flamborough.
Yeah, it would have.
And the guy is sitting right up top of the points, so they're going to thrash and get that thing back together.
I thought it was Shea Gemmell that's got the lead of the APC points.
I'm
pretty
Shea?
Sure it is.
So he's got the – yeah, you're correct, but he's sitting right up top.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Billy's
like
up there with him.
Schwarzenberg's second, I believe, within a few points.
Mr. Consistency.
Yes, for sure. And you know, you look at a couple of the other guys, you know, of course, the last time out at Flamborough, you know, Matt Perdigo and J.R. Fitzpatrick getting after it.
Right.
So when you look at the speed charts, there's a few guys that are kind of on the rebound. There's a few guys kind of slipping a little bit, and the field is kind of evening out. So
I wonder if we're going to see the 89 of Sean Chenoweth. I wonder. It's Flamborough Speedway. It's a London Rec 100. You know that Sean Chenoweth is London Wreck, Mr. London Wreck.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see him in that race. The 35 of Andy Kamrath.
That car is sold.
Will they switch
that,
up?
That car is now owned by Taylor Holdaway.
So. Really?
Yeah.
So will Taylor have it at that race?
He's going to run it a couple times this year. I don't know if he's going to be ready for Flamborough, but he's going to be running it a couple times throughout the year.
The 29. I think Ryan's got a good opportunity. If he's back at Flamborough Speedway, I think that 29 car is going to do something.
Yeah, he's chomping at the bit. You know, those guys are definitely...
he's owed one.
They're definitely owed one. They've got some speed. Looking at the previous outing, they should be good. Every time they unload, they're good.
I got my fingers crossed. Everything I own is crossed, hoping that Jake Sheridan and that whole team can get that 52 car put back together for Flamborough Speedway. Tell you what, it got hurt at Sauble Speedway big time last night. And I spoke with Jake afterwards to see if he was okay. He physically was okay. But I'll tell you what, Junior, that car was not good.
Yeah.
It was hammered.
Yeah, for sure.
I really hope that they can get it back together. He was very, very dejected.
I briefly spoke with Ron, and he said that Mike McCall did offer him a car for Flamborough. Didn't know whether he was going to get that one fixed, the 52, like that ran at Sauble and that has ran, you know, earlier on in the season. He didn't know whether it would be ready for Flamborough in time. That's a big turnaround time.
Sure
a week,
it is.
You got,
that's
and
it.
As well, it's not just one car coming out of that stable, right? He's
no.
got he's got
his other son. Dirt.
Yeah, Nick is racing on the dirt sprint cars over at Oschweken. So, it's a big undertaking. I don't think it's just a front clip. Unfortunately, like that was a big hit.
Yeah, it was.
He slapped the wall pretty hard. So, it'll be interesting to see if he can get back out there. But when he does, he's going to come back out strong and he'll come back out swinging.
He was lights out fast last night.
He was for sure. He was.
Coming up next weekend as well. Honda Indy Toronto, you're off to the Pinty's race there, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, going to be heading up there Friday. Spotters aren't a whole lot of anything at the Honda Indy Toronto. We don't do a whole lot. We just kind of stand there and look pretty. it should be pretty cool. Of course, working with Andrew Ranger, we're leading the points by one. Or no, we're trailing the points by one to LaCroix. So that'll be exciting. And then as soon as the checkered flag falls on Saturday, I'm going to be running my fat little legs down the stairs and jumping in the car and heading to Flamborough and then spotting for Dion Verhoeven or for Brandon Verhoeven and
right.
Dion in the 7 car for the APC race. So it's going to be a very busy Saturday.
Yes.
And I'll likely find a hotel somewhere close by to sleep.
Fans, I'll tell you, if you're anywhere close to Toronto, too, to catch the Honda Indy Toronto, you want to see these guys on the streets of Toronto. The NASCAR Pinty Series is always a dynamite race there. They've got a lot to offer. Free Fridays, I believe, are on there as well. Bring a donation for Make-A-Wish. You don't want to miss it. If you're anywhere close to the city of Toronto on Saturday or Friday, get out and have a look at the Honda Indy Toronto. You'll really enjoy it. And then join us at Flamborough Speedway, just outside Hamilton and Freelton, Ontario. If you can, it's the London Recreational 100. Be there at the track. If you can't, get to racetimeradio.com, and we will have live coverage for you. And all you do is click and listen. I think you'll really enjoy it as the APC Series does their final trip at Flamborough Speedway for 2019. But, Junior, that's going to do it for you and I tonight in the studio. Got to thank Susie Q right here for hooking us up with everybody. And, of course, our friends back in Toronto at Sirius XM Channel 167. That does it for us. Enjoy your week. Get to a racetrack. And don't forget to join us Saturday night for the London Recreational 100. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week on Race Time.
This smooth down. White flag is out. One to go. No pressure from behind, buddy.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.